Blog Talk.
This is Deborah.
Okay.
This is Carol.
All right.
Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. Today is November the 19th, 2008, and we're airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And you are a part of the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio, a forum for women of color and women with issues and policies that covers the contracting industry and construction. Today we have a great show for our listeners, and I wanted to thank everybody for participating and making our show one of the one slot of a lot of people feel that it's a great thing that we're trying to accomplish, but I think that we are changing the face of the contracting industry by our social networking that we're doing. And the first thing I want to do is alert everybody about our new partners for this week. The coalition is growing in all sorts of manners that strategically aligns every individual that may call or want to be a part of the coalition. Our new partners currently is Women of Color Network out of Pennsylvania, Tanya Lovelace, Southeastern Carpenters, Mark Brown, and Ameriplan, Carol Garvey. And we also have a special guest on that I believe everybody will be very excited to hear. It's one thing that we need to do is embrace our youth and give them the tools for the future, because they are our future. We have Deborah Clark on, and we'll have her on a little bit later in the show, about 10 minutes. Want to also let everybody know what our topic is for today so that we can always be held accountable for what we're trying to do. And this is why we have a couple other organizations that's going to be calling in as well. Any element or agency or program whose fiscal responsibilities are held by or controlled by a governing body that cannot interpret the social needs of its participants should govern jointly with a body who can. We, the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction, will serve as a clearinghouse to interpret that social capital and human capital development of women of color in the construction programs and projects. Women of color in contracting and construction have understood suited different obstacles and experiences, it is imperative that all of us do whatever is necessary to change what is not expressed as an obstacle into assets. So first thing I want to do is have everybody come on, and I wanted to have our panel. We have like to first introduce a caller from 404-589. Okay. Caller from 770-949.
Yes.
Okay. And who is this?
This is Carol.
Okay. We got Carol Garvey on. And we have a caller from 770-962. All right. Caller from 219-938. Caller.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that the folks were online. We have Carol Garvey from Ameriplan that's going to share what we're doing as a coalition and our venture with Ameriplan. Carol, welcome to the call today. Thank you for taking out the time and kind of going over exactly what we're going to be fostering into relationships for the coalition.
Thank you, Karima. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate this opportunity to work with the coalition and to explain exactly how we believe we'll be able to benefit the members of the association. Ameriplan is a 16-year-old company. It was established in 1992 out of Dallas, Texas. We are now a nationwide company. We are 100 million strong with over 2 million or close to 2 million members, most of those being households. And what we have done is we have given families in America and individuals and companies, employees, company owners, the opportunity to get affordable health care without the high cost of insurance. Ameriplan is not an insurance company. We are considered a discount medical plan organization. We provide access to providers in the United States who have agreed to give our members discounts on their services. So Ameriplan has already pre-negotiated reduced fees and rates for any of the procedures that are done in these offices. Now, these are doctors and dentists and vision centers, laboratory, pharmacies. All of these already exist. These are private practices. Some are partnerships. Some are national chains that people, you know, you're all familiar with. And we are in most every state. There are only a very, very few states that we are not in, like Alaska, Wyoming, Montana, places where there
it's
are
cold.
Not dense populations. I have checked, and the states where your association members are located, we are there in those states with plenty of providers available. Again, we are not insurance, and we are considered consumer-driven healthcare. We put the control of the dollars for healthcare in the consumer's hands, the patient's hands. It's like an agreement between the doctor and the patient. But these have already been pre-negotiated by Ameriplan, so we've done all that work for them. Since we're not insurance, that's good news, because our programs have no waiting periods. There are no limits on their services or the visits that they have. There's no medical qualifying. There's no deductibles to meet, no paperwork to file. The savings are instant at the time of service, so they don't have to pay and hope they get reimbursed or anything like that. It's all savings right there on the spot.
And the Teachers Retirement Association is one of your Ameriplan's associations that you work with as well, right?
Exactly, exactly. Also, a retired teachers association in Florida as well.
Okay.
The plan is portable. We have many people in the trucking industry because truckers are always on the road. They're always crossing state lines. And rather than being state-limited like many insurance plans are, our card and our discounts go with you. So wherever you are, you can get a provider near you, and they will give you the discount that has been already negotiated, regardless of whether you live in that state or not. So it is a portable plan.
Okay, and then that makes us, the next question is, if that provider, it may not be a part of the AmeriPlan network, you all will have a system that works out for the members as well, right?
Yes, and this is one of the beautiful parts of our program and our company is that the majority of our network has been by referral. We built this from market to market, and the best way to get a good doctor or a good dentist on board is to have a patient refer them. And that's how we have pretty much built our network, and we have hundreds of thousands of providers around the country. We make it very personal. We have a specific email address that a patient or a member can request that we approach their doctor or their dentist about becoming a part of our family of network providers. And the providers, by the way, get some wonderful benefits for being a provider with us. It doesn't cost them anything to get started with us. The credentialing is very smooth. We do background checks. We do a lot of checking on, you know, tax records and, you know, malpractice type things. But the credentialing is very smooth. We don't make them jump through hoops. We do all the work. And it's a very quick process. And the nice thing is that people can get their own providers on board with us. Most doctors who are approached, most dentists who are approached, do want to do something for those loyal patients of theirs, and that helps us build our network and helps your members get their discounts.
Okay. And then the group plan that we have is based on our enrollment on our membership dues. So, therefore,
exactly.
We've calculated a number that will take care of everybody for the entire year, so that they can move accordingly. But you guys will also mail out all the information. That'll come directly from you all, right?
Exactly, exactly. We mail their membership cards, the directory, the fee schedule for the dental, everything about how the program works, all the listings of the providers. They're also available online. But those will be mailed directly to the members' homes. And with our plan, just a basic dental plan that saves up to 80% on dental services, any procedure, even cosmetic. And we have that for an individual, $14.95 a month is what we sell it to out there for folks out there. But we have a program that we call our household plan. That household plan covers anyone who lives at the same address, whether they are related or not, whether they're related by blood, whether they are related by marriage, does not matter. Whether they're in college does not matter. Their age does not matter. The household is anyone who lives at the same address. Could be roommates, could be parents moved back in, like is happening much today. And that's one of the beauties of this, is that the one low fee covers anyone in the household. And everyone can go as many times as they need to the dentist, the doctor, the chiropractor for wellness visits. We have prescription program, medical, laboratory, hospital advocacy. It's just a comprehensive program for everyone in the household for one low fee.
Okay. The part that I was really attracted for us as an association is that AmeriPlan has waived an enormous amount of fees for us to become a part of the network, and I know that there's a very strong need.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're one of the very few organizations that are not a part of a primary like ABC or AGC that has any form of help or medical that's even being offered in terms of a association that's outside of, say, the teachers union, things of that nature. But as well as that, I understand that we also are getting, because we're, you know, we're getting a discount for that. And most of the things that you and I have been talking about was based on some areas that we never look at as owners. A lot of the women that are online right now, that is online with us, is our business owners. And this would be a very way of retaining good workers as well. When you have you can offer this to your workers.
Absolutely, and we have a special program for that as well to save them quite a bit of money. The beautiful part about working with business owners and associations, but particularly the business owners who are part of your association, is that, this is not insurance, and so there's no qualifying of blood testing or, you know, any testing. They're all pre-existing conditions are included. No one is rated up because of age or whether they smoke or not. I mean, with a group, that becomes an issue when you're dealing with a large group, and if it's not a large group, it can really raise rates. We don't have any rating up for any conditions or situations, and the other nice thing is, you know, they can do payroll deduct. As most of your listeners know, I believe that the second highest reason for employees or contractors to leave a company and go to another is for benefits. So if they can provide affordable benefits to their employees, whether they be part-time, full-time, contractors, independent, whatever the case may be, they can offer this to them as a way to maintain those good people, and it's affordable. It doesn't break anybody's bank. So it's a great win-win for everyone.
Okay. Anything that I can do in order to absorb the opportunities for our organization, we should try to do so. Have a caller in from Marvin from Elise Entertainment just called in. Marvin, thanks and welcome to the call.
Hi, you're welcome, Karima. How you doing?
Wonderful. We're just in the middle of our first guest, and if you guys could just bear with us on the AmeriPlan, please stay right where you guys are. We appreciate it. I know you guys are really busy up in New York. Go ahead, Carol.
Great. The nice thing too is one of our packages. We also offer three non-medical benefits, which can be very, very helpful to individuals as well as business owners to have their employees take advantage of these. And that is our auto club. You know, if someone breaks down, sometimes that's the reason they didn't get to work on time or they didn't make it to the job. But with our program, they can have the auto club, which means they have 24/7 reliable, qualified roadside assistance, okay? And the first $50 of that emergency roadside assistance or towing services is just to sign and drive. The first $50, they just sign and drive away. They do not have to pay anything out of pocket. Now, if it goes beyond that, they also get a very substantial discount on anything beyond that may be due.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps with breakdowns and for employees and contractors trying to get the jobs. Another thing is identity theft assistance. We have that available as well. And with that, you know, it's a huge, huge problem. It's like a $50 billion problem in the United States. And it's not only, people who have a lot of money anymore. It's at all levels of society now.
Okay.
And what our program takes care of are the two main elements of identity theft issue, which apply to anybody or everybody. And that is the matter of prevention. And second is the matter of resolution after the fact. So that's something as well that we offer, and as well as AmeriPlan's legal services, that is where you save on an attorney. Any first-hour consultation, each occurrence is absolutely free, and then they get a discount on any ongoing legal fees if they need to carry it on. There's 4,500 online legal documents. And I know, you know, for employers who have contractors and that type of thing, sometimes sooner or later people feel like something's going to happen, whether it's a speeding ticket, a parking ticket, or something like that. It always helps to have some assistance in that area. So these are things that, in addition to the dental, the vision, the prescription drugs, the chiropractic care, the doctor office visits, the laboratory work, ancillary, MRIs, ultrasounds, hospital advocacy, alternative medicine, holistic, naturopathic, it's all in the packages. It's all inclusive, and just a great, great program. We offer physical therapy, cosmetic surgery. We have a 24/7 nurse line. If it's a weekend and a child is ill or someone's ill in the household, you can call a registered nurse. They will either tell you whether it's something you can do there at home, something you need to go pick up at a drugstore. If it is something that you should get the child or the person to an emergency room. They'll let you know that. Just a great, great services that we offer that sooner, you know, it just seems that sooner or later everyone needs something like this. So we're there to provide it at a very low cost and make anything they have done very, very affordable for them.
And that's what we need. And I think I want to thank you, Carolyn, for spending this time with us online. I want everybody to understand that the social needs of an organization is very important. We have to understand that this is one of the identifying barriers that business owners and just people in general come up with as far as things that they can't get around. And because of this, you'll be able to review everything that Carolyn has on product line with our ncwcc.org site. And all her information will be on there as well. And, Carolyn, thank you so much for spending the hours on the phone with me and our executive director, Ms. Freeman, the other day. And so, everybody, thank you all for listening in. And, Carolyn, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Karima. You guys are a delight to work with, and I just look forward to working with everyone else involved.
Okay, thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. We have our two featured callers on. Like to welcome Elise Entertainment, Marvin Walker, CEO, producer of Ayana, the song that comes on during the show and after the show. Marvin, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hey, Karima.
Okay. Marvin, I also have another lady that has a wonderful program, Deborah Clark, on.
Hello.
Hi, Ms. Clark. Okay. We want to get into the core part of our description of our program for this afternoon. Marvin, he's very busy right this minute, and I'd like him to talk about a program that he brought here to the Georgia area, his YAP program, and the elements that we talked about in terms of governing individuals who, you know, do not want to provide the leadership that they're supposed to have in working with our young folks. He got whisked away. You guys are in Upper New York now, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Could you kind of tell everybody about your program and how it started, and is Ayana going to be on with us this afternoon?
Well, we're actually in a dinner meeting, and she's entertaining the meeting so that I don't lose their attention.
Okay.
The law of diminishing intent does take place here if, you know, you don't maintain people's attention.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, the program basically started out, the E-Young Executive Program. That's what YEP stands for. It started out in the living room of our street team home, where we housed several individuals that, you know, went out and they did grassroots promotions with us on our, you know, on our record company for the artist Ayana and her products that we had available at the company. And, you know, when I was 25, I ran into a gentleman in Denver, Colorado, where I lived, and he handed me a book called The Art of Exceptional Living by Jim Rohn. And I was at a time in my life where I needed to learn how to live exceptionally. And I started digesting the material that I found in the book interesting. And every other book that was mentioned in the book, I ended up going and get those books because I was so hungry and thirsty for the information. You know, that book led me to books like Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And several other books, The Millionaire Mind, and, you know, if we're to be millionaires, we got to understand once we accumulate wealth, what to do with it. And, you know, in my constant pursuit of success, you know, I would be in my office just listening to the, you know, the material, and I would have some 15-year-olds, some 16-year-olds, some 17-year-olds around me. And, you know, I found that they would ask questions about the material, and I never presented it to them because I just was like, you know, they're young. They're not going to be interested in this. They want to talk about the rappers and the music and everything else that's going on. And, you know, they started asking me questions, and, wow, what's that you're listening to? And that sounds interesting. And then, you know, I heard them reciting stuff from the books that, you know, I was reading or listening to on audio, and I was like, you guys are interested in this? And they were like, yeah. But I found out they were only interested because they were seeing actual results of the literature that I was, you know, ingesting. They were seeing me living out what I was studying. And, you know, so next thing I know, I'm holding these classes, these lecture seminars in my living room to a group of 15, you know, 17 and 18-year-olds and 14 and 15-year-olds. And they're digesting the information, they're asking, and they're reading these books on their own. And that's pretty much how it started. I just wanted to share the secret of success that, you know, was passed on to me to them, and the results that I witnessed firsthand from these people, young people taking the information and putting it into use was miraculous. And, you know, then I started running around like, wow, I have this great program. Let me just get some funding for it, and then we can educate all of the young people, and they won't be out robbing and selling drugs and stealing, because now they have the information to, you know, to become successful individuals themselves. But, I didn't receive the reception that I thought the program merited there in Georgia. And, you know, we ended up coming out to Upper New York on a trip with Ayanna to perform and do a show. And she was giving her testimony on the radio. And, you know, some of the city officials heard us speaking of the program. And they came and they've opened up doors. They've given us grants. They've presented us with a facility. And they've been just real supportive of the program because they saw a need for it with their youth here in the Upper New York area.
And let me ask you a question. Ayanna has gone platinum as well as and what you were able to teach the young people here. You were able to reach about 1,500 kids on your own without any funding, basically based on what you did as a business person and what Ayanna did as a businesswoman. But however, you know, they saw that you guys went platinum. You did that with the type of distribution level that you did. You taught these young people how to be self-sufficient. And you have a whole core group of individuals just still here, as well as what you're doing there. Your program. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We reached about 2,600 kids, a little bit more. We signed up several from the transitional academies at the schools there in DeKalb County, and they actually sent me an email for me to come and speak at the school on December 4th. But we had a total of 2,600 kids that was interested in the program, and, you know, we were sharing the information with them and, you know, breaking them up into teams and just speaking and mentoring them at different points. But, yes, we did take Ayanna. You know, based on information we learned, and I learned that, you know, you have to make study a habit, and we studied the music industry, which is the field that we work in, and, you know, through educating ourselves, we were able to take her as an independent company to number one on the Billboard Hip Hop and R&B Single Sales Chart, as well as two other charts, and we sold about 80,000 records independently of her first album. And, you know, that's a great feat. It may sound like not a lot of number, but that's a great feat. You know, when you're capitalizing on that yourself, because you're the company and you're doing everything. So we did that. Took her to number one, had her songs featured in several major movies, In the Mix starring Usher, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. It was on the soundtrack as well as on another artist. And, you know, she's even written songs for artists like Alicia Keys. She's been asked to come in and write for Keisha Cole. And, you know, this was all things that we have done with very minimal contacts and relationships in the music industry. But just utilizing the information we had and just saying, listen, we're going to go and we're going to do this thing. And we've had some successes. So as the young people see us, you know, getting these successes, they're inspired to believe that, wow, if I utilize this information and put it into work, it's going to benefit me just as it benefits Ayanna and Marvin.
Okay. And that's what the social and human network capital that you guys have created. And the thing that I was able to be a part of is tracking you guys over the period of, 9 months now? And I think you guys are on your way to Japan. Are you guys still going to Japan?
Yeah, December 1st, Ayanna's going to be in Japan for about 3 to 4 months, and then she's going to be in London after that shortly. She's going to be out in London. And, you know, we're just doing a lot of stuff. She's going to Canada here in the next couple of days. She's going to be up in Toronto. So, you know, independently, we've taken her to be, an international celebrity.
Okay. And then basically what we have now is an opportunity to talk with you and talk about the success rate of what you guys have built. And I believe now we've lost a great program in the in the DeKalb County, Georgia area because of the resistance, I guess, of the adults who are part of this. And, you know, I'm hoping that you guys will be, I know you guys are going to be coming back and forth to Georgia. So, and I'm sure the concert that I've been asking you guys to host for the coalition, I'm sure you guys will do that for us as well.
Definitely.
And, you know, my song is her song. And I appreciate it, Marvin. I believe our guest dropped off the line, and might have to try to get her back. But thank you. I appreciate it. I know you guys have a lot going on. We want to get back into the topic of just knowing that we have a social network within a network with the Least Entertainment. And, Marvin, I really appreciate you guys just constantly giving me a call and letting me just kind of give you guys my input on your empire building. I'm always shocked that you guys do call me all the time and ask me a question. I think that's all interesting enough. But
definitely.
I thank you, and I'm going to let you get back to what your meeting, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Creamy. Have a blessed day.
You too. We guys, we're going to take just a moment. A little moment here, and we'll be jumping back online. Just taking about a 10-second break here. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to also thank the caller from 330, our faithful partner in Ohio, Mr. Robert Porter.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. And we have an interesting, our featured guest for the rest of the afternoon is Ms. Deborah Clark with Urban E Program. Wonderful, fascinating program for our youth. Deborah, thank you for holding and listening in to our guests that have called in. And we also want to just share with everybody that Deborah is a wonderful individual who is committed and has a passion stronger than I've ever seen anybody to bring our community together as a whole. She has international connections. Her background is tremendous. I don't even know where to start from. She's also been embraced by our new CEO, Beryl Ellis, as well, here in DeKalb County, Georgia. And Deborah, welcome, and we really appreciate you taking this time out and being a part of our coalition's forum for today.
Well, good afternoon to everyone, and I have waited patiently with much anticipation and much excitement. Because, first of all, I'm just so honored to be able to see a coalition of Afro-descendants actually working together to promote one another and to establish a presence for each of our different visions and mission statements. Because we all are really working together. It's just sometimes it's hard for people to see that because there's so much going on, you know, individually that we really can't collectively get together. So, Karima, I want to thank you for having this platform because unless somebody lifts you up, really, people can't see you. It's hard for you to talk about who you are and what you do, but it's excellent when other people can do that on your behalf.
Okay. Could you please tell us about the Urban E program and where we are going to be able to partner with you and give you as much as our steam as possible? Could you kind of start from where we were talking about last night in terms of where you guys are located, your business partners that is a part of the engineering and environmental level, and our green green space and green areas that we as a culture do not embrace, we would like if you just go ahead and just give us exactly the entire spiel, because I was stuck yesterday.
It's teacher's time. It's teaching time. Well, I want to stop and just first acknowledge that Urban E-Life was a spinoff of Project Here's My Dream. Project Here's My Dream originally started about 10 years ago in an elementary school at Rockbridge Elementary. It was a program similar. It has evolved because of the need for education and awareness. But it originally started as a program, a free after-school program for latchkey kids. And as a when I had my my now 18 and 17-year-olds in elementary school, we had relocated from Hawaii. They were born and raised there. And there we experienced environmental awareness at a level most people don't, because we live in a tropical paradise. And you see how people care for the land, the water, the air. You begin to have an appreciation for it. And so after 13 years of there, we came here to Atlanta. And my roots from my father's side are here. And that was the first time my children actually embraced our African-American culture. They had saw colored at all different levels in Hawaii, and it was a melting pot of the different shades of the beautiful color of color. And when we arrived, my background has been over the last 28 years in education and teaching. I started in family daycare. And every year I began to see a need for factoring in more children, especially our at-risk community, our foster care, our group home, our shelters, our homeless kids, into programming that normally has such a price tag on it, they don't get to enjoy really good programming during the summer and during school breaks. So as I began to do more and more programming, I was able to go to DeKalb County. At the time, I was living in DeKalb, and I was very fortunate to meet our CEO, our former CEO. Oh, my gosh, his name just...
Vernon Jones.
Vernon Jones. You know what? A lot of. I am so impressed who God raises up to do whatever He does, because I remember going to him and saying, I have 200 kids for the summer, and they come from all different backgrounds, living backgrounds. And I said, and I want them all to experience a beautiful summer camp. I said, I need some money. And he didn't say, go get a grant. Go, Debbie, I don't have time. He said, how much do you need and how many kids will be impacted? I said, 150 kids. And I remember him walking down, I'm not going to tell you the place, he walked down and he said, find her the resources. And from that point on, I had a respect for politics, because in the past, when you're dealing with target groups of children that everyone may look at and say, well, I don't know. There's always a ram in a bush, and God always had a ram in a bush of someone that says, I can see past color, I can see past ethnicity, I can see past, all the barriers, and I just see young people that need a sense of direction. And I was passionate. I'm more passionate now than I've ever been, because I have watched that passion do some awesome things that I thought could be done. So we've been touching hundreds of kids every month, every year, uh-huh, doing pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, and I think the blessing is that the Vernon Jones vision has been about green space and not utilizing up all our resources, our natural resources, to expand development in this county. And I'm hoping that the new CEO has the same vision.
He has. We are very, very fortunate. We have two African American leaders who Vernon Jones was ahead of his time. I remember doing the first. My background is in not only education, it's in environmental technology. And basically I have learned how to process to a zero tolerance in our landfill plastic, aluminum, electronic, and different types of commodities that the recycling industry, and really they make a lot of money from. You've heard that statement, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I've seen that with my own eyes on how you can throw something away and it has a value not only here but in third world countries. And so we started embarking upon the environmental technologies about 9 years ago when I was teaching, and there was a need to have refurbished computers in our inner city schools. So I left the school system and I embarked upon a project with, at that time, it was 5R processors, and a gentleman by the name of Keith Ballard, he was with Teach the Children Foundation, and they were able to market an affordable refurbished computer complete system that we completely saturated the market in our southern states, all throughout Georgia, and to date, we have saturated the market so that we have supplied computers, and we've watched over 200 mom-pa operations, computer stores just pop up all over the places.
Exactly.
Because now people see a value. So we've learned how to bridge the digital divide, and I mentioned that because it was from those grassroots efforts that I am now able to have these relationships with Brazil and Cape Verde and other places where they want us to bring environmental technologies there and show them economic development, job placement, and green jobs for their people overseas. But let me get back to where we were starting.
And this is where I want to kind of interject in and kind of give everybody an ideal of what this does. If again, we had Marvin from Elise Entertainment on. And if we look at these programs that are very unique, that impact our children, have not embraced in all parts of the country. And I just want to share with everyone that we have to govern our control over agencies and programs a lot better, because you have people that are visionaries that have come to our communities from other places, and we are not embracing these folks. They're very unique. You have the Deborah Clarks of the world. You have the Marvin Walkers of the world. You have individuals like this that have got a program, this Urban E Life program that has a project goal, a Green Career Center, and the curriculum is tremendous. I was able to look at all the parts of the curriculum, which embraces science, right, Deborah?
Yes.
Technology, engineering, and math, which are one of the levels of what we say in the contract in the construction industry is, if you're going to be a successful engineer, you need to embrace these particular levels of education. And Deborah's program is doing that. Deborah's program is creating.
Well, it has. Karima, it has so many aspects, because as a school teacher and as a daycare provider, I've always had to look at whole child development. You know, where is it can I play in the sand and teach them about color, about texture, about safety? I mean, and that's always the concept of a teacher. She's always trying to find the best way to teach all the different concepts. And STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, is now almost like the new word when you're talking about core curriculum, because 49% of our ninth grade young boys are dropping out of school. And a lot of it's because they can't read, and math is very difficult. You know, of course, you know, I'm not going to go into that because that's a whole nother radio show. But what I want to be able to say is, as we begin to design programming, African-American children are creative individuals, and they learn by hands-on and by doing. It was very easy over the last couple of years to teach why it's important, what calculus is, what commodities are, why to stay in physics and chemistry when you're demanufacturing a computer. When you open a computer and you see the gold, the silver, the palladium, you see the precious metals, and then you turn around and show them how you strip those metals and create a product that you can sell, they get it. And so what we've had to do is find out, because technology is their thing. I mean, these kids, their kids, the kids today, if you're not walking around, you can barely call them upstairs because they got something plugged in their ears. Yeah, plugged in their nose and their eyes. I mean, everything's plugged up. And, you know, I tell my teens, I said, I'm going to call you one time, and then you're going to start cutting some cords around here, you know. And so it is very, they came out of a technical world, and we came out of a creative world. And that's why you have some of your most profound teachers on the creative side teaching children that are in technology, because the two, the partnership is awesome. It's very powerful.
Right.
What I found out this over the last 4 years, because we started implementing as we graduated the program from not just music and poetry and writing and things like that. You have to understand something. There was one summer camp we had, and Vernon Jones was able to make sure we had 2 years of this program. And we rented a theater, a 15,000-square-foot theater, and we had kids from our foster care, from Judge Adams at that time, phenomenal leader in our community, now a Superior Court judge. These men saw the vision. They were a little afraid because you can't put that many types of kids in one place together all summer without having some issues. I said, there's only going to be one mama around here, and everybody else is going to, you know, I'm a old school mama, and I had one altercation all summer, and it was from a little boy that went to my church.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I was kind of embarrassed, you know. But one thing I found out about young people, if you will individually assess their weaknesses and their strengths, build on their strengths, encourage their strength and build on their weaknesses, and treat all of them the same. There were no precious pets. There was no divas. I was the only diva up in the house. And so what they learned was, I've got to be a child.
Right.
And I had everything. We did a CD. I told the producer, I said, they could sing. They couldn't. It was 108 kids, and they couldn't sing. But I had so told them that they could sing, they were going to sing. And it was a horrible experience initially because they couldn't sing. But I told the producer to make them sing. Give them the tools, develop them. And those kids came out with a CD that summer. It was 7 songs that were designed by them, for them, with them. And then they did a book of poetry that we presented to Maya Angelou at the National Black Arts Festival. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. And then we were able to do a 100 apiece art exhibit. And I had kids from our detention centers and coming out of our judicial system that were working with sharp objects. No one ever got hurt. And I began to realize something about doing these programs, especially these ones where I was out of the box and off the chain. I realized if you will be a parent, if you will be the authority, the ultimate authority, and show them how they could just be a child, they will always respond with positivity, because that's how they are designed. God made them like that. Go ahead.
This is the thing that I want to share with you. I have a caller in from 763. Welcome, caller. Caller from 763 area code. Okay. But wanted to welcome the new caller that came on. But
hey,
this
Karina,
is what. Hello, how are you doing?
This is Nicole with Giovanna. I've been listening to Deborah, and I just wanted to kind of intercept there, because I know she and I have talked about the need to for businesses to offer internships to her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this would be a perfect forum. I don't think you've spoken about that yet, right, Deborah?
I have so much to talk about. I just don't know if there's enough time in the day. I mean, I just brought them up to speed. Who gave me my first piece of money, you know? And that'll encourage everybody else to do the same thing, you know. So,
Needs. This is why we are the best elements of our own children and as a community, and just to interpret the social needs of I'm the mama, you the child, nobody can come up with that except for a black mother. I got my mama's.
Oh, you better
mama's,
say that.
My mama's on the line right now. As long as I live, is that right, Miss Free? Who's gonna be the mama? Who's gonna be the child? Ma'am, Miss Freeman? Miss Freeman? Mrs. Freeman? Mrs.
Is
Freeman, I think she's there. Caller from 651, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And caller from 219, are you still there? Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have said nothing. Okay.
It's all good. It's all
and,
good.
And caller from 763, are you still there? Area code? All right, and caller from 330, Mr. Porter.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to keep you abreast of how we're progressing with this program, with the Urban E program. It is something that
Urban E Life. You got to bring the life to it.
Urban
E Life
program is going to be another one of the pilot programs that we try to pull into the Ohio area. And Mr. Porter has actually been a part of our coalition advocacy level. And that's an area that I know for a fact that would embrace a program. Not embrace it, but it has the funding sources to have an internal program to help the youth in that community. Am I correct, Mr. Porter?
Yes, you are. You are correct. I was just listening, and yes, that is something we are looking to. Wherever we open an office in Atlanta or Texas or wherever it may be, we're looking to make sure that we give the young people a chance, because every carpenter or laborer or cement finisher doesn't get a chance to get into the union. But it's a good thing that you had put this young lady on the show today. I definitely am interested in seeing if there's something we can work out together, especially when she went to talking about recycling. Because
Wow, you know, you haven't even the tip of the iceberg with the whole recycling thing is, I was working with 5-Hour Process, and they are, I was working with the premier grassroots people that actually started this industry. And so they have, you go on their website at www.5rprocessors.com, they give you a blow-by-blow history on cradle-to-grave recovery and recycling. It is amazing. I was a school teacher. When I went in, I was like, what am I, I'm coming from a school teacher background, and I'm in a warehouse, a 35,000 square foot warehouse with a steel toe boots and a bandana and a t-shirt. And I said to myself, it's now time for me to learn. Now, when I came in, of course, I'm a salesperson by nature, and that's where I got all this passion and energy from. But instead of going in the front where I was on the phones, cold calling and sourcing corporations to recycle with 5R, I started in the back and began to understand how it came in. Why does it come in? Who does it come in from? How do you package it? How do you demanufacture it? How do you scan it? How do you barcode it? How do you identify? And so, and of course, you know, we're inquisitive. And as I began to learn more, I went to the principals one day and I said, you have a science, history, physics, chemistry classroom right here. I said, why doesn't somebody design a program where we can bring young people to your recycling facilities? They have a monster recycling facility, which is, we call out Motherlode in Tennessee. It's over 100,000 square feet. And it's you can eat off the floors. But you were able to see the Department of Energy there, and you see all the people that live green. And, you know, and I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to tell you where I started. I used to be the one that waited till everybody was asleep at night. I wrapped my computer in a black trash bag, and I ran to a dumpster, and I dumped it over, and I ran around a corner to see if anybody saw me. You know, I knew it was the wrong thing to do. I just didn't know why. And so as I began to study the industry, I realized that there are environmental hazardous waste and byproducts that are in our monitors and in our systems, and unless anything you plug in must be recycled. Any corporation that has an ISO number, they must by law recycle. The problem we have here is in our northern countries, recycling is a mandate, like you pay your daycare and you pay IRS. Here in our southern states, the awareness is a little bit more lax, because lobbyists, I'm not even going to go into the political side of it. There's a lot of money made in the industry, and as a result of that, some of the rules are lax so that people can make money. But as we see, if anybody watched 60 Minutes about two Sundays ago, we are now being plagued with the fact that we haven't taken care of Mother Nature, and she's now fighting back. These hurricanes are not just coming and happening simultaneously because, you know, something's happening here. It's a direct result of the fact that our environmental uniqueness that we used to maintain is now being violated. depleted, and of course recycling the green gas. I mean, it's just a history, and it's a chemistry, and it's a class that as you begin to embrace it, you see your part that you have to play to make sure if you don't participate, you make people educationally aware of what's going on.
And,
so,
and that is what you're. That's what I wanted to get back into in terms of your interns. Are looking at you're creating a technical training certification for your Solar Cyber Cafe, your Skype
right.
call center.
This is what we're doing. We've had some phenomenal partners, Clark Atlanta University. We have two very powerful women that I talked about, you Michelle. And Michelle Dawkins and Lisa, I told them they have a curriculum of 240 hours that go through hazmat, it goes through OSHA certification, safety training. It teaches you the value of why we do what we do in this industry. And then, of course, we have another gentleman. His name is Joe White. Joe White has spent years on bringing awareness to green-collar jobs. Jobs that are created because we begin as an African American community to begin to recycle. Now, what was always a problem was where there's no education and no awareness, there's no input. When I am in communities such as Athens, Clark County, and the surrounding counties, where there is a lot of awareness and
the University of Georgia's program for green.
Right. I mean, where there's education, there's training, you've got support. I can collect, when I facilitate a recycling event, in 2 hours I get in those counties what it takes me 8 hours to get in our African-American communities. And so the only difference is we're not made aware. So what I have done, this Urban eLife, this environmental technology campaign, is an awareness campaign. We're going to show you how to have fun to recycle and to learn about why it's important to do it. When people talk about recycling, they think you're picking up cans and, you know, bottle caps and stuff like that. It's much bigger than that. It's about identifying.
It's a $1 trillion industry.
Right.
It's a $1 trillion year industry, for real.
And we're not a part of it. I mean, I joke and I tell folk, I said, what is it about green you really don't understand? because we want to start now. Now we have to create green. I remember when I was talking like this 9 years ago, even my family was looking at me and saying, oh, she's eating something or she drank something because she's not even talking the same language. It is a language you must learn and understand in order to participate in it.
It's also an opportunity for people to do a startup company dedicated to environmental energy.
That's right. Green collar jobs. Everybody talk about the blue collar jobs. The blue collar jobs are now green. The collar's turning green, and we have some phenomenal facilitators in partnership with us. Hope Through Divine Intervention. They have a transitional program for men and women. And they become the labor force. I mean, we can take some of these target groups and populations of people that we really don't know what to do with, our homeless community. We can put them through the training. We can show them how to do, show them about the opportunities in a green career, and then allow them the opportunities to highlight that by participation and implementation in our awareness campaign. When we would do an environmental education campaign, we're talking about having e-expos. We want to have an e-expo where all of the major environmental issues are addressed. We want to do it through art. We want to through the redesign and re-engineering of clothes. We have young interns from Frederick Douglass High School that have already developed a battery-operated car. We want to be able to do it, wind energy concepts. We want to be able to do it, like I said, food, jewelry, clothing, art. Everything has to go green. It's almost like taking a blanket and putting it over everything at one time.
And our thing is, I think what I've gotten from you is that the intern and mentor program highlights for your program are very, very strategic. It provides a mixture of classroom instructions and hands-on.
Right. Let me tell you how it goes. The intern/mentor program, because you always have to have an adult working with an intern, and it could be one mentor to five interns. You give them a chance to work with authority figure. So they're not on their own. And we call it the place where they work, we label it a green lab. And there they commit their time to identify and develop environmentally technical students for projection implementation. When we want to do projects, they have to be trained on why we do what we do. They receive classroom instruction, hands-on activities, field trips, on-the-job experience. We do it in about 36 to 40 weeks, and we make sure school weekends and school breaks and holidays that the program takes up again, and especially over our summer. It's all during the summer, but we want it year-long because, you know, it's happening year-long.
Okay.
And then we want we take our interns and develop them into our design team. Our design team plans and implements our events. We want to have a green carpet. You know, of course, everybody's heard about the red carpet. We're going to have a green carpet gala in 2009. Of course, we have all the sponsors on the phone, so we don't have a problem with that this year. We want to do environmental education campaign. We want to do the recycling events, the computer drives. We want to do people don't know that if I collected a Gaylord of old CDs, we would be able to show them how to strip the plastic, strip the metal, recycle it, sell the plastic and the metal aluminum on the other side of it. See, I'm telling you. It says one man's trash is another man's treasure. I was able to witness in Wisconsin the process and recovery of gold. I watched it stripped through a special solution. These motherboards and circuit boards, they were washed in this particular solution. It was then became a liquid gold. It was put in a kiln, and out came gold, 99.9% gold. It looked like baby poop. But I'm telling you, when you show a young individual something like that, it changes how they look at a computer. It is more valuable to manufacture a computer than to sell one. And so we want to be able to solicit corporations to donate their Pentium 3s and Pentium 4s so we can send those overseas. When I was in Brazil, I had gone over with 5 through 5R, and we had gone with a delegation of business people. And I went over, and I realized a country of 220 million people, only 12% had access to technology. So when I sat down with them and told them how we had bridged the digital divide here in Atlanta, they wanted to offer me 4 places to live so I could come over there and show them how to do it there. And Brazil is a place that sends out a lot of scrap, environmental waste, because they don't have a recycling facility, nor do they have – but let me tell you what they do have. They have a group of people, and people who are hungry to learn, hungry to understand the digital divide and be a part of it. They had 486 computers, 10 to a facility, and they were touching 500 to 1,000 students every year with just those 10 little computers. And so, you know, I went back and I said, we need to start soliciting corporations to allow the computers to come through our process, through our recycling facility partner. Let the kids, the interns, let them tech, teach them computer breakdown repair. Let them fix the computers. Let them redesign the computers. And then we can ship those computers overseas. And then during the spring breaks, the summer breaks, we send them over to teens teaching teens, teens impacting communities, teens empowering one another. It's hard to change the mindset of an adult because we get set in our ways. But I'm like the kids. Send me overseas, you know, I'm ready to go. And it allows them to see where I might not be appreciated here, somebody else sees a value in who I am and what I bring to the table. Most of Europe and most of the continent are environmentally savvy and technically literate. We're the opposite. We're technically literate and environmentally illiterate. And so we have an exchange that they can give to us and we can give to them. When you go to Brazil, you eat a mango as big as your head because there are no environmental pollutants in it. You come over here and you look at that same mango and you go, what do you guys do to the thing?
Right.
So, you know, we have this exchange of culture and exchange of language, but technology is universal, and 80% of the world is waiting on technology to show up.
Let me read something to you, everybody, from our leading research organization that has pivotedly put our coalition in a position that it is, from the Center of Women Business Research. A community must be open to diversity of all kinds and offer a variety of forms of creativity. including the arts, culture, technology, and a thriving economy. Intelligent, creative, and innovative people come together from similar industries and rely upon each other. Together, the firms and people build a unique place for everyone to thrive economically and socially. This forum, as you are, I have to make sure that everybody remains on point, is the one of the reasons why we have Ms. Clark on. This is a perfect understanding of how our community must embrace the diversity levels of not just the opportunities that are presented as business owners, but it's also another form of eye-opening opportunities and events that go on in our community when people like her come into our communities and they're not embraced in the level that they're supposed to. The one thing she just said is that we have a reverse ignorance in terms of who does what where. I was overwhelmed by understanding that when you're doing this, what we're doing right now, everybody, is that we're building a cluster of building both human and social capital while providing a stimulating intellectual environment for a forum like this. Because this is not just a forum for just sheer talk. What we've learned and what I've learned is that we need to start another business. We need to be, you know, we are involved in the 21st century. The concrete and the conversation that you and I had, Ms. Clark, last night regarding what to do with the concrete, we need to govern ourselves accordingly with these type of forms so that we understand what do you need us to do when you have a person like yourself that has taken a time out and have etched out in your busy schedule to let people know that there are green collar jobs. Becoming a win-win for various government agencies where you can partner up and provide a service that has never been presented to women of color in a general whole, you know, and opportunities that present themselves like we have now. This is something that we need to embrace and pull together and, you know, mentor some of these folks and provide jobs because you can learn from the folks that you've already trained over the period of years, right? Hello?
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think our caller is... Hello?
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 Okay. Are you there?
Karima.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, guess you
can hear me off. Now? Can you hear me now? We're going to do a Verizon commercial.
No. Actually, one of our sponsors. But, I just wanted to let everybody know where we were in positioning ourselves with the understanding that this forum is based on, understanding the new technologies that's out there as business owners, understanding there's a need to mentor these young people in all parts of the country. I have five different area codes on 219-651-331 and 404.
Let me ask you: all these different area codes, how savvy, how green on a scale of 1 to 5? Can all of you just speak what you know, just a little bit about what you know about our environmental technology industry, our going green, our green? If it's something that's new, something that's old, or
yeah,
I'd like to be able to hear.
Top caller 219.
Yes, I understand it. Going green, to recycle, you know, different, you know, the water bottles and the plastic containers. And we in this city, Gary, we have a recycling. We recycle all of those things, paper goods, and we have recycling bins that, you know, that accumulates all of these things, and they take them to the site and recycle them.
Okay, caller from 651. Caller from 651. Caller from 330.
Karima, I was just going to say that
the question was, what are you guys doing in the 330 area code that focuses on recycling? Anything?
What we do here is we recycle concrete.
Ms. Clark,
that's something that
take a breather. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead, Mr. Porter. Okay.
And that is what I kind of incorporated into the watershed program, was a recycle program in Atlanta where the concrete that we tore out, we could recycle and use for subways. There's some different specs that we had to do, but the asphalt and things like that, those are things that these young people should be looking at as far as getting operator engineers, school of engineering, something great.
You know, a gentleman, another environmental consultant came to me the other night saying, Ms. Clark, he's a part of our team. He said, Ms. Clark, what are you doing with concrete? And I was like, I'm just getting my hand around the other stuff, and you're bringing me something new. And so I called Karima, and Nicole told me to call Karima, and I said, okay, what do we do with concrete? His idea was he's a demolitionist, and he wanted to, once it's demolition, be able to haul it somewhere. They want to be able to make countertops like they do with granite. And so I didn't have any, you know, it was out of my sphere of education. So I said, well, let me go and figure out who does it and how they do it and what's the process and how we can incorporate this as well into the whole, you know, the zero tolerance in our landfill.
And a caller from 651, last number, welcome to the call. Okay, we're having problems with 651. Is that Minnesota?
Hey, Karima.
Hi, I have two calls from 651.
Karima.
Yes.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, okay, we can hear you now. Okay, that's a bad connection. Let's get her stirred back up. Caller from 651-233-8987.
Yes, Karima.
Are you in two places? Okay. Here we
no.
Go.
All
right. Okay.
I hear somebody.
She's there. That's medication kicking in. Okay. No, really, she was injured. But we wanted to just kind of improve on the conversation with concrete. Mr. Porter was discussing the fact that, you know, up there they're talking about using it and crushing it and reselling it back to DOT and putting it a part of your base bid. And it's a part of a lead objective in terms of projects that are concerned, Ms. Clark. You were able to get lead civil and gold platinum credits on projects. When you're on projects like that, if you have a LEED certification, right, Mr. Porter,
yes,
you're able to reduce the cost of the project itself in one sense, and they'll give you credit on the other level, which turns back into dollars for you. So that's one of the things I think he and I were talking about previously for one of the hospitals, right, that you were about to bid on, I guess, University Hospitals?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Porter.
It is actually one of the best things for the, you know, Atlanta watershed, because it saves them a ton of money, honestly.
My question is, and this is one of the things when we talk about zero tolerance in our landfills overseas, locally and overseas, is the cradle-to-grave process, which needs to be implemented in all of our recyclable material, whether it's plastic or aluminum, is the end result is whoever handles it. And because a lot of times things are sold to another buyer, you know, another business that handles that, like our glass is handled by someone else because that's what they do, and they do that exclusively. But what we try to do is to find a closed loop so that even after you finish breaking it down, that you create a product in-house from that commodity. That commodity turns into a real commodity, not one that's shipped off somewhere again. Mm-hmm. We're using more fuel, more gas, more whatever, but it's done in-house, and that is what we're trying. There are not many organizations or recyclers that actually can do it. It's very expensive, and you need a lot of infrastructure, and you need a lot of dedication from people that really believe in our zero-tolerance concepts. But the true joy of this is we can begin to train and to educate again how to go back to basics. Basically, you know, it's really amazing, but we really are going back to basics. You know, back in the day, you know, we didn't throw away. I don't ever remember drinking out of a styrofoam cup. That might give my age away a little bit, but I never ate with plastic spoons and plastic plates, you know, and we just didn't do it. We had to clean plates every day. And, you know, I was always, I mean, I was always trying to say it was my sister's day to do the dishes. But and so we are actually having this 60-second society. We have everything is, I mean, now you're standing in the McDonald's line, you tap your feet because they haven't gotten it done in 55 seconds versus 60. And when you have this kind of mentality where you don't want to take the time to make sure things are in their proper perspective, we get this catastrophe that we have, this environmental catastrophe that we experience right now.
I think we have, because of Obama's initiative and walking across the environmental lines, I think what we see and what I know I have heard and talking with a couple people today, that this is going to lead to job creations and economic development in our community. Right?
Green career and green collar jobs. That's the new buzzword. I mean, I want you guys to start saying it first so you can say you were there before everybody else was.
And the communities are, you know, I guess this is what we were talking about. Your program would serve the traditional underserved.
Yes, matter of fact, it would serve, and like I always said, I hate identifying people by labels, but those, you know, you can be handicapable, and you can work a green collar job. You can be illiterate. You can be non-speaking, English-speaking, and you can work a green collar job. That's the advantage at a green collar job, because if I tell you I have 1,000 hard jobs, I need for you to take these hard drives out and put them in this box, I don't need to talk to you to do that. I need to just show you how to do it. If I show you how to palletize and put and load a container of 550 computers and I show you how to do it, it's just a matter of you mastering how to shrink wrap a pallet. And so we are in a very, very awesome position because those that have struggled, and let me tell you something, when I started in the industry, that was a $10, $12 an hour job, and that was 8 years ago. And so you can escalate to $21, $25 an hour jobs in this industry.
Wow.
And you can become somebody that is the boss.
Wow.
And if you're smart enough, you can open up your own, not a recycling facility, but you can exclusively have a call center that solicits a phone, a technology lab that turns into a Skype phone center, and you can solicit and hire people just to call out for people to give you their contracts or recycle through your company, because you can partner. This thing is so huge, you can't do it all yourself, and the companies that are the pioneers in this industry, they partner themselves with other partners who actually specialize maybe in glass, in gold, and, you know, in the commodities, because there is so much environmental waste that there is not enough organizations that can get it all done and keep and maintain our zero tolerance in our landfills. Our landfills are filling. I want to congratulate DeKalb County as a result of my efforts, my pestering, my tenacity. They have their electronic recycling landfill now. They've always been very, very avant-garde in providing recycling for their aluminum, their plastics, and, you know, their cans and their glass and their cardboards. But now they are truly cradle to grave recyclers in that they have a landfill now just exclusively for electronics, so they recycle.
Yeah,
and so I want to congratulate
the concrete slabs for that inside the landfill. It was for the green energy. We did that actually last year. So, yeah, I didn't know exactly what we were pouring it for, but it was pretty thick. And I guess the generators that do that is right there off of in Ellenwood that they started it. So, yeah, I you know, that's where my ignorance is. I'm just pouring a slab.
But you know what? You have to start somewhere. I mean, you know, people, I didn't know what green gas emissions, I didn't know that was causing global warming. No one told me because it wasn't important. I was just trying to, you know, get to the, I wanted my mother to drive as fast as she can to get me to the small, you know. I mean, and so, you have to, until we relate it to where it affects us. Now, like I said, when you see all these commercials about the polar bears on these little piece of ice, it's so, you're like, wow, you're seeing so much of that now. You're going, what's going on? You're the problem. And so you start to engage yourself because now there's a market for green awareness that was not there before. There are young people that are technical, and this environmental technology is right up their alley. I mean, we want to be able to have our own internet radio show that talks about, that are operated and run by our young people, that talk about the issues that relate to them. We want to have, we initiated an environmental art traveling showcase with the mayors of Cape Verde, Africa, just this past weekend. You're going to see some artwork that will blow your mind that's made from natural products in the woods, in our forest, natural products with materials. You'll see re-engineered materials that become art. We have Sandra Self Designs. She's designed e-memorabilia, mouse pads, cups, posters. We're going to have a contest in our schools and our youth facilities where kids are going to come up with slogans, songs, poetry, art, clothes, the whole nine yards. We want to, if you can engage them, posters and taglines, if we can engage them in being the conduits, the change agents for this new green career, this whole thing that we're trying to do right now, if we can tell them that you're the leaders, we'll provide the e-curriculum, we'll provide the e-marketing materials, the e-newsletters, we'll provide you all the training and support and the mentorship. You go and get the job done, because using their energy is better than using mine.
Yeah, and I see that your green career op.
But, Lima.
Yeah.
Yes, I also want to chat line on the gentleman who was talking about concrete. It is a company in Wisconsin that recycled concrete rebars and for the landfill. They reused it into making new homes. And it's one, and it's a certain way you crush the material up and you use the concrete and the rebar.
Wow.
And, they're doing that now in Wisconsin. I just want to put that information out.
Okay. All right, thank you. Step back. Yeah. The learning participants for your Green Career Center, your facility is located where?
We just left our facility this summer. That was the last program that we had done in August. Mm-hmm. And we are soliciting now. We met with, I tell you, we had an awesome time. This summer, I had met with Burrell Ellis. We met in the airport, and I've watched his rise to power, political power over the years, as well as with CEO Vernon Jones, our former CEO. And when he talked to me, he said to me, Debbie, everybody knows my path. They know where I want to go and what I want to do. And I said, I'm really not interested in no politics because, I'm focused on finding intern jobs and, career ops for some interns out of Frederick Douglass High School and our DeKalb schools. And he said, I'm behind you. I said, good. Then I want you while you're in your busy political career to come down and meet our interns there in our training program. And he and his wife and his two children and his campaign manager came to the recycling center, dodged the potholes, and were late, but were on that phone with me saying we're coming because those interns were sitting there waiting for them. And they spent over an hour, and they were blown away as those kids told them, you have a $5 million landfill cleanup here in Lithonia. Why didn't you call us? We could have told you what to do. And he said, I didn't know I was supposed to. And they said, well, now you know.
Right.
And so they were able to say to him, I am who you know. I am who you need to be talking to. I am more than competent enough to lead if you will support us. And that began the relationship and the respect of our CEO. Of course, we also worked on his campaign, and when he won, he stepped out of that whole political process when he saw those interns at his campaign celebration, and our relationship started there. And after he was elected, he had tons of things to do with his transition team. But one thing I want to say to him, he was a man and has been a man of integrity, because he made sure that he met with those interns in October 7th and began to say to them again, I am behind you. You will be a part of my administration, and you will help me to bridge the digital divide as well as provide environmental awareness. And they gave him an impact statement, and they gave him a proposal. And so I'm working right now with Ms. Edwards, who's part of his transition team, to make sure we stay in contact so that when he comes into office, then we come in. He does have a phenomenal environmental initiative for DeKalb County. It's just that we want our young people to be a part of that. We want companies to sponsor the internships because they're still in school and that is their top priority. But when they have those 3 hours they can work, we want interns, we want the community to pay them for the time that they're taking out to learn about this new language and this new industry.
We've taken the initiative to do that, but are you guys in a location already? I thought you guys were located in off of ML King.
We have a facility. I manage an 85,000-square-foot building here in the heart of Atlanta, and I want to take the building green because it's an old building. It's a historical building. It's a beautiful building. It sits right at 2001 MLK. It's called the Atlanta Executive Center, and it has some issues that an environmental assessment would take care of if we had support to be able to use this building to become an environmental model. What we do have is a partnership with many of the tenants that are willing to and want to impact the community through some type of green initiative. So we presented it. We are looking to get a building donated. We've had some land donated to us by Milton Malone. He owns an automotive shop, and he's agreed to, pending some funding, to be able to teach young people not only about automotive repair, but about how we can create a new energy-efficient car, a hybrid car. And he has 2 acres of land. He said, if you want to build on it, go get your resources and let's build something that would be LEED certified and you know, has all the environmental impacts in it. So
what county is that in?
It's in Atlanta, right down the street from the school and right down the street from the building that I'm a manager at. So because the kids that we originally were after was from the kids from Frederick Douglass High School. They have a engineering and technology academy. There were over 240 juniors and seniors that needed to be in a paid or non-paid internship. And so this passion was because we were trying to get people to provide internships for them because it's part of their mandate to be a part of the academy at that school. And so we wanted to keep it in that area because we wanted to show these kids that we will come through for them and find paid internships.
Well, we have the three executives of the coalition on the phone with you as well, and I can speak from just experience for them to even talk. I think you have our complete support, and we will if you would want to, you can be a part of our youth program initiative with our youth build, which would provide you an amount of funding for the program that you're launching.
You know, I didn't even think that you would ever have to think that you weren't going to be a part of it. After talking to you yesterday, Karima, I had already made 3 QB dolls, and I started hanging. I said, if they try to move away, I'm going to stick them, you know. And so I am Nicole, when she told me about it, she said, you must talk to Karima. She is a will-do, must-do, we'll get it going on. And I was like, and why wouldn't I be honest? I went downstairs and I went, oh, how many of those have I talked to? And it was like a sizzle, and it just sizzled out. But when I talked to you, you were very quiet, and you were very solemn in your delivery. And I knew, I said, this time, this was going to be different.
Are you talking about Karima?
She was silent. I had overwhelmed her with the project. And so she was like, wow, we can do this. And I said, yes, you can, Karima. Yes, you can. We can do the change. And I was going to give her an Obama speech, but, you know, okay. But, you know, I have been waiting 13 years for this to show up, and I was patient because our young people are worth it. If I had to wait 5 more years, I would, and my passion would never dwindle. It has grown, and I've grown with the respect that people know I have not sold out for anything. But I have not, you know, there's a lot of times you wonder, why do you wake up in the morning? Every morning I wake up, and I know why I am here. I don't have to get anybody to, you know, give me a pat on the back, because every morning I wake up and I see a young person and I talk to them and I say, listen, there is a change coming. They look at me and say, well, where is it, Ms. Davis? I said, it's coming. I didn't say it was here, but it was coming. I'm waiting for our communities to wake up, and this is something, this awareness campaign, we can all get engaged in it. It's not something for the young or the old, it's for all of us. And I want to be able to see us make an impact overseas. We have the model, and we can do it.
And exactly. What I want to do is thank everybody. We got 1 minute left in the show.
Already? I mean, you guys talked all that time. I mean, I didn't get a chance to say what I really wanted to say. No.
I'll be back next week, then.
I'd like to thank our caller, Ms. Freeman. I wanted to thank our executive director, Ms. Bowens, and Mr. Porter.
Wow.
Thank you, and God bless
thank
you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so
and,
much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of this, and I guarantee you, just within a short period of time, that we know that we're going to implode into a level of strategic planning. And I want to tell everybody that God is good. He is the most powerful thing in my life. And I want to thank my mother and my sister and our structure that's been a part of our lives, kicking and screaming. We are second generation contractors, and we're very
wow, committed. Congratulations!
And we want to thank everybody. And we have 14 seconds. God bless, and God is good. Everybody, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.